born on this day back in 1945. Bob Marley, singer-songwriter, Jammin', and many others. No Woman, No Cry, and a couple of top 40 singles. Died in 1981. Cancer. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1994. Bob Marley and Jammin', not one of my favorites, but I know tons of people love Bob Marley, so we don't discriminate much here. Bob Marley, born on this day back in 1945. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday morning. Snowy, icy perhaps in some areas in Michigan, so be careful on the commute. Joining us on the phone lines right now, Philip Wegman, White House correspondent for Real Clear Politics. Find stuff at realclearpolitics.com, Real Clear News. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you were in West Des Moines, Iowa, for the Iowa caucus, and the lead on your piece at Real Clear Politics pretty much says it all. Nothing happened. And as of right now, still nothing happened. We have, 97% of the vote in, but we don't know who won. We don't know who finished second. We don't know a whole bunch of stuff from Iowa yet.
And there's a temptation that with 97% in, that a lot of us should be able to say, well, you know, why wait for that last 3%? Why wait for even more verification? Let's just say that either Pete Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders won the whole thing. And that's really dangerous. Partial results, even when you're at 97% reporting, are still partial results. So at least for me and my editors, what we're saying right now is that Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg are very much neck in neck for both the popular vote. Right now, Bernie Sanders has more actual caucus goers who came out, turned out for him, than Pete Buttigieg. But they're right, right at each other's heels on this one, and we're going to have to wait a little bit longer, it seems like, to finally figure out what happened.
Phil, if you take us through what it was like on the ground on Tuesday. Now, the caucus procedure itself didn't change, as far as I know. I mean, Iowa's been doing this for a long time. So the actual caucus wasn't changed. It was simply the reporting of those numbers that changed. First of all, is that right? And then second of all, what was that confusion like at the end of the night when people were not able to report those numbers?
Yeah. So it's basically unchanged from years past. This year, there were actually three different rounds of caucusing, meaning that the first round was to get 15% of caucus goers at a particular arena to support a candidate. So if you're at a caucus place and there are 100 people who came to caucus, X candidate or Y candidate would need 15 people to back them at the very beginning to get 15%. And then if they don't get that 15%, then there's a second round where those people can, recommit to another candidate if their original candidate didn't get enough votes. And then there's a third one. Anyway, basically for anyone not from Iowa watching this, you're scratching your head and you're saying, why the heck do they do it this way? Why not just have a primary where you can walk in, you can vote at any time throughout the day, and then there's no confusion? And Iowans all say, well, it creates a sense of community, it's tradition, and they've been making this defense for a long time. And then tonight, the app crashed. And basically what happened was that the cell phone app that caucus leaders were using to report the results, that app crashed because it had not been tested. It hadn't been vetted. And so you have this process that has been ongoing for, decades. And because of some app on a cell phone, they weren't able to correctly turn in results at the right time. So it's a disaster for Iowa, Iowa Democrats, and the Democratic Party, who really thought Iowa was going to give them first indication of who might win this thing.
So, Phil, as we don't know the results, but we pretty much know the third and fourth place finishers, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. That's not likely to change much. I think for both of those candidates, it's disappointing. Elizabeth Warren, it's hard to see where she's going to win, perhaps, in the upcoming states to grab any sort of momentum. She's had some fundraising issues. She's canceling media buys in areas. And for Joe Biden, part of his appeal And part of his strength was the presumed front-runner status. He was the guy who was on top of most polls, most national polls at least, leading up to these early states. And he's been wounded here, and it's unlikely he's going to win in New Hampshire. He might have a stronghold in South Carolina. But Joe Biden's campaign looks a little rockier today than it did on Monday, for sure, yes?
Yeah, and what's interesting is those national front-runner numbers didn't translate into actual caucus support on Monday night. And there's sort of a skew, a disconnect between a candidate who is popular nationally and one who has support on the ground. What we're finding out now is that the Biden campaign, they did not take Iowa as seriously as they should have. They ignored the fact that he didn't have a lot of grassroots support. They didn't get him into the state on time. Other candidates were there earlier in this summer than he was. And so on caucus night, a lot of people would support him in, you know, national polls and also in polls of the state, but he didn't have the machine necessary to turn things out. And like you mentioned a second ago, this could be bad news for him because it is not likely that he's going to win in New Hampshire. And then eventually we get to South Carolina, which is considered his firewall, where he is still leading. But if he loses New Hampshire, then all rests on South Carolina, because if he loses there, then it's a very real possibility that this all sort of evaporates.
Phil Wegman with us from Real Clear Politics, Real Clear News. His piece at Real Clear Politics, Iowa caucus mess, no results, just delay and frustration. So when you were talking or overhearing people at the caucus, what were they saying to woo those people who were perhaps backing a non-viable candidate? Did you hear, we've got to pick a candidate who can beat Trump? Did you hear, we've got to pick a candidate who represents our progressive values? What was the rationale, the reasoning you heard?
Yeah, I was everywhere from Cedar Rapids to Sioux City to West Des Moines in the run-up to the caucuses, and those arguments were prevalent. It was a lot about electability. Clearly, every caucus goer would be happy to see anyone in office rather than President Trump. Even a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters who I spoke to, I asked them, you know, would you ever support Biden? And then they said yes. And then, you know, I spoke to some Biden supporters, and they sort of admitted that yes, they would vote for, you know, Bernie Sanders as well. Obviously, that was a small sample, just a dozen or so folks that I spoke to. But I think electability is the most important thing. And something that a lot of us, I think, missed is that Iowans are very proud of their first in the nation status, and they're very proud that they were the first ones to send Barack Obama, towards the nomination in 2008. And I think a similar phenomenon might have happened with the candidacy of Pete Buttigieg. I think that there was another big first for them, the possibility of giving a gay man a win in Iowa. And I think that caught a lot of, that was very attractive to a lot of supporters.
Follow Phil on Twitter at Philip Wegman and catch him at realclearpolitics.com as well. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've seen the headlines. Clean water has never been more important than it is today. It's time to give yourself and your family the best home water you can. Wolverine Water is Michigan's premier manufacturer of whole home water systems and has been since 1947. Wolverine serves homeowners statewide, and they're ready to test your water for free. With everything you've heard, you need peace of mind. You need Wolverine Water in your free water test. Go to stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo. That's stevegruber.com and click on the Wolverine Water logo.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers, and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
When it comes to planning for your future, you want an advisor who understands your Christian values. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles offers financial planning based on biblical principles. He can help you plan for your goals in a way that is consistent with your faith. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan, 48912. Ameriprise Financial provides financial services without regard to religious affiliation or cultural background. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., registered investment advisor.